And God sent fiery serpents. I hate snakes. In fact, most people have a strong dislike for snakes. I mentioned to a couple people here on campus last week, this is what I was going to mention in the sermon, and the first thing they did was shiver and say, I hate snakes. A little while back, there was a movie. Had the title, Snakes on a Plane. For me, that is a horror movie. Or Indiana Jones. He had to crawl down in this underground cavern, and they put the torch down there, and the floor was moving because the floor was snakes. That's a hard scene to watch. I don't like snakes. Most people don't like snakes. Why? Maybe it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Satan takes the guise of a snake, and they fall into sin, and ever since then, people and snakes just haven't got along real well. It could be just the way they move, slither through the grass, kind of gives you the creeps. Or maybe because you know what a bite from one of those snakes can do. How the venom will just sort of course through your whole body and perhaps even kill you. Snakes can be dangerous. Now, I know some people do keep snakes as pets. I'm not one of them, and by the looks on the faces here, most of you aren't either. But when I read this, that God sent fiery snakes, makes you kind of wonder. And these aren't your garden variety snakes. We don't know exactly what they are, but the best guesses are that they might be a puff adder, or a cobra, or carpet vipers. And when you hear the words viper, adders, or cobras, you know that these are some of the most dangerous snakes ever. And here they are, suddenly slithering around the feet of the people of Israel. What did they do? Why the snakes? They complained. They grumbled. They got impatient. See, they had been wandering almost 40 years since God had brought them out of Egypt. That first generation had pretty much died off, and now this was to be the new generation that was going in, and now God's taking them through this sort of desert place before they enter the promised land. It's hot. It's kind of a miserable trip. And they talk about this worthless, detestable food. I guess it's that manna that they've been eating for 40 years. Think about it. Go over to Schnucks and you walk in there. On every shelf, in every aisle, is a box of oatmeal. And it's got just enough for you to eat that day. And you go into Schnucks the next day, and what do you find? A box of oatmeal. Now, oatmeal is pretty good. But every day, month after month, year after year after year, think you'd complain a little bit after a while? Maybe just get a little impatient? And there's fiery snakes when they grumble and they complain. Actually, for us, it would not take that long. We go over to Schnucks and we don't find the right size that we're looking for and we're complaining. Or we could be complaining about how things are going on at work. Or somebody who's getting on our nerves. Or some aches and pains that we have. Or the high price of gas. Or you're upset with somebody at home. Oh, complaining and grumbling, impatience, it just seems to kind of course through us. Now, God doesn't send snakes among us today. At least I haven't heard about that lately. But that doesn't mean the fiery bites still aren't happening. There's a certain venom that's coursing through our hearts and minds and systems from the grumbling and the complaining. It makes you bitter. You become pessimistic about the future. You don't see people in a positive light. You're negative. There's an uneasiness, a lack of peace, a discontent with what you have and what the Lord's given you. You become unthankful. That's the kind of venom that courses through our system. And what's worse is what it does to our relationship with the Lord. That complaining and grumbling and bitterness and negativity causes you to lose focus on God's gifts and blessings that He's given to you. And thankfulness, praise, begins to drop out of your life. And it makes you wonder why God would even want to be around us. I mean, do you want to be around somebody who's just always crabbing and complaining and negative? Well, of course not. You wonder if God is that way too. But thanks be to God, He does not turn His back on us. Go back to the people of Israel, and what do they do? What do they do? They recognize what they've done wrong. They confess it, and they ask God for help. And God answers that prayer. Moses puts that bronze snake up on a pole, and they look up at it, and they live. Now, it was not some sort of magic of bronze snake up on a pole. No, the reason they lived is because they looked up. They trusted in faith that God would keep His promise, and He did. He's the one that gave them life when they looked up to what was lifted up. And the same is true for us. It's not a snake on a pole. It's a Savior on a cross. When Jesus is lifted up on a cross, the pattern is true for us. We need to recognize what we've done wrong, confess it before our Lord, and then look up in faith, look up in trust, and live. At our home, as you walk up our front steps into the living room, there is a wall that has a number of different crosses on it. It's been given to me by a number of different people and some that I bought, and I brought one of those in today. It's a little different cross. I'm going to walk down a little bit so you can see it. But what it is, it's not a cross with a figure of Jesus nailed to it. It's actually the two of them kind of merged together so that Jesus and the cross are just one piece. The reason I brought this one is because the cross is not some sort of magical item that we look at. No, when we look up at the cross, what we're looking at is how God has kept His promise to us, how He's giving us life. It is Jesus on the cross. He's there taking the sting of death. Our complaining, our grumbling, our bitterness, our negativity, anything that would have caused God to turn His back on us. There it is, and He's the one that's suffering the sting of death. And for us, what we get in turn is life. Life now and eternally. John 3:16. We call it a gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Anytime you have a nutshell, it hangs on a tree. And on the tree of the cross, God's love for us is there, lifted up, and we look up and live. What was once a snake on a pole becomes a Savior on a cross. What was once physical life for the people bitten by snakes becomes now eternal life for you and me. Now, I brought in this little cross here today, but if you travel Interstate 70 over in Illinois and you get to Effingham, there is a rather sizable cross. It is huge, and it is silver. How many of you have seen that cross, by the way? Whoa, lots of you have if you haven't. It is quite large. I'm not sure it would, it's certainly not as big as the arch, but you could put it inside the arch, and it would fill up that space pretty well. That's how high and big this cross is. People driving along, you can't help but see it. Now, some people may not be all enthused about it. Some people may try to look away. But for those of us who know, those of us who know what happened on that cross, we look up in faith. And we live. And we give thanks. Now, did you just notice what just happened? You look up to Jesus lifted up, and you give thanks. Thanks replaces the complaining and the grumbling. I'm reminded of a story told by Pastor Jack Hinton. He was over at the island of Tobago leading a worship service at a leper colony. Leprosy is a horrendous disease that takes away parts of your body, your flesh, and it's a slow, painful way to die. And during this service, there was a woman who was turned away from him as he was speaking. When it came time to sing a hymn, she turned around, and Pastor Hinton said it was the most hideous face he'd ever seen. The nose was gone. The ears were gone. The disease had taken its toll on her. And she raised her hand that did not have any fingers anymore and simply asked, "Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?" And Pastor Hinton said that he simply had to turn and walk away. He was so emotionally moved. And one of the people that was with him came with him and said, "I guess you're not going to be able to sing that hymn again." And he said, "Oh, I will, but not the same way." A woman without a face and no fingers has looked up to see Jesus lifted up, and she wants to count her many blessings. The refrain from that song, by the way, goes like this: "Count your many blessings one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Complain about your food? No. Give thanks for all that the Lord has given to us. Complain about a family member? Oh, no. Give thanks you've got a place to call home. Complain about the way somebody is driving or the high price of gas? Oh, no. Give thanks you've got some place to go and a way to get there. Complain about a coworker? Oh, no. Give thanks that you have the opportunity to work. Complain about aches and pains? Oh, no. Give thanks for the medicines and the care that we receive. Oh, and one more, and this is a hard one. This is a difficult one. Complain about snakes? No. They too are God's creation. And they remind us that we need to see what we've done wrong and confess it and ask God for help. And then we look up to Jesus lifted up, and we live and give thanks. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding fill our hearts and our minds with thanksgiving for what the Lord has done. Amen.